The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and Sound Exchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Randy. Randy founded the group Soul Purpose in 2010. They released their studio album, Rearview Mirror, produced by Larry Gann of Ostrom Records in 2014. Randy released his 7-track EP, Elevate, in 2017. The first two releases from that project reached number one on Christian radio charts. Randy serves as a pastor of music evangelism for the Church of the Nazarene. Soul Purpose plays frequently at churches, festivals, and other events, bringing the love of God through the vehicle of music to as many people as possible. A prolific songwriter, Randy is a member of both ASCAP and GMA. All his original music is published by Dancharde Music.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Randy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, Sorantos. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's talk a little bit about you. When did you get the bug? When did you start going down this road of music?
Oh, I was very young. I came from a musical family. My mother was a country music artist. Her stage name was The Prairie Sweetheart. And she had a radio program back in the 1950s that she did every week with her family. And she was a multi-instrumentalist, did a lot of personal appearances. And, of course, my uncle was also a country music artist. So from a very young age, I was exposed to it. And I guess about 10 or 11 years old, I really started getting serious about playing the guitar and singing. So,
do you think it's an advantage or a disadvantage having a family that's kind of doing that to you?
Oh, I just thought it was a great advantage. I learned a lot about what to do, like the do's and don'ts of being on stage when I was just a kid. And just seeing them having a great example, being around great musicians, it was not only an example, it was a great tool for learning. So,
yeah, absolutely. I tend to agree with you. And I think, you know, you almost kind of get used to that spotlight. You get used to performing. It just gets the jitters and all that other stuff that most people go through at a later age out of the way, I think.
Yeah, stage fright. I remember the first time I was like 8 or 9 years old. And the song leader at our church called in sick. And my mom said, well, you're it today. And I said, like, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know how we practice on Saturday next to the piano. I just want you to do that this morning and tell everybody what song we're going to sing. And then just sing real loud like you do at home. And so I got indoctrination by fire, I guess about 9 years old. So,
wow. That's amazing, my friend. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the influence the church had on your music. And I'll give you an example from my past. You know, I was an altar boy growing up, and then I was in the church choir on top of that, like 7th, 8th grade. And I thought it really taught me a lot of things about music, and I wish I had stuck with it. But tell us, was it good, bad for you? Did you have any influence from that?
Yeah, I had a lot of influence. I think that there's still a lot of that gospel feel in my music. I think it kind of helped me create my style. I think it also was a good learning ground, again, for me to learn how to read music and read parts and sing with other people. Also being in a band and learning how to play with other people. That's, you know, you have to go jam with other people really to kind of get that synergy that happens with a group. And then just the fact that you get to sing every week at church, was great. So we got lots of practice.
Yeah. Helps build up your endurance too.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your influences in the musical world, not counting your family or the church. Any musicians that really influenced you?
Yeah, I grew up in a time during the 70s when there were tons of singer-songwriters around. Jim Croce, Fogelberg, Gordon Lightfoot, Hall & Oates. I mean, all those guys were really big. Simon and Garfunkel, that music was kind of like the backdrop of my life. The Eagles, songs that are just timeless. You go and hear the Eagles now, and they were just recently at the Sprint Center, and the entire 20,000 people in the auditorium were singing along with every song that they did.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the soundtrack of my life and a big influence for me.
And I think the Eagles, great example, their harmonies, they just do so many things right. So I think that's great that you're able to be influenced by them.
Yeah. I like this. I remember when the song Seven Bridges Road came out and the acapella, you know, five part harmony, and they still do that song live. The second half of their show, they start with just acoustic guitars and the guys sitting on stools out there. And it kind of feels like they're sitting in your living room doing that. But that was really a big influence on me, that songwriting style, that acoustic guitar driven music.
Yeah, that's great. When you look at performing in public, obviously with COVID, that's kind of been missing for everybody. Is that something before COVID that you did regularly? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a long time, about 30 years now. I've been playing live, and I have a band called Soul Purpose, and we do a lot of festivals, a lot of outdoor gigs. We just cranked up again, starting to do book for this summer. We just did just south of St. Louis, we just did an overnight gig, which is something we haven't done since March last year.
Yeah.
We did a Saturday night and then a Sunday morning. But that interaction with the audience and that making a connection with them, I mean, that's really important to me, to really be able to have a conversation with them. It's great when you look out in the audience and you see the expression on people's face, like they really get the lyrics to your songs. That's really important. You can't really do that on live stream. So I've been missing that.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And I think the live stream is great. I think this trend has opened up avenues that are going to stick around, but there's nothing like a live show, I don't think.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about live stream, and I don't know if you've experienced this, Toronto, is that it has opened up a whole new audience of people that may not have heard our music before. So I think that's a new world, like you said, that I think is going to stick around.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I don't know what you think. Where do you think music is going? It's such a challenge now. There's only so much time that people have. And between streaming, live streaming, everyone's vying for everyone's attention. And honestly, how do you compete with Netflix and Apple TV and Hulu and all these things? It's tough, man.
Yeah, I still think people like the live experience. When the venues start reopening, I think people are going to revert back to that. However, music has become a bigger part of people's lives just because, well, I look back to my younger days. We went to the record store and bought, you know, the new LP every week.
Sure.
When we got paid, and now people download by song. So the days of vinyl, I guess, are reviving a little bit, but music is just so much more accessible now than it used to be. People carry it in their pocket. They download it on their phone. They're using an iPad or an iPod, and it's always with them. But I think music is going more more towards that. Like, what you see artists do now is release a single instead of releasing a full album. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so they're really writing songs for the moment. They're creating music that's more for the moment, for what's going on in the world at that time, rather than doing a full concept album like we used to do.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your process. How do you get started? Do you do lyrics first, drum groove, melody, guitar lick? How do you get going on a song?
That comes a number of different ways. And thanks for asking that question, because you being a lyricist, I think that's great. I collaborate sometimes with a friend of mine that's a poet. And there's actually a song about her on my record, Begin Again, called The Poet. But sometimes I start from a hook with a guitar. And sometimes that hook is a lyrical hook. As a songwriter, I'm always listening and observing, and sometimes I'll write something down on a business card or a piece of paper, or maybe even whisper a line into the recorder on my phone, so I can use it later maybe to start a song. I have multiple songs in process, and they're all kind of in different stages of process. Some of them are just need a little bit of polish, and some of them are just beginning. So that's kind of my process. I start with the hook and work from there.
Yeah, that's cool. When you look at the music you put out, are you the kind of person that does one a week, one a month? Do you do like two a year? Like, tell us about how much you're churning out, and then how do you decide if it's going to be released to the public or not?
I think every artist is looking for a place to display their art. That's the best way that I can say it. And if I'm playing a lot live, then I'm not usually as concerned about getting music out there and recording it. You'll notice that, like, my release before this one that I did back in April was in 2017. And it's because I was playing a lot out doing live music. So I think I just took advantage of the time during COVID and the time during isolation to get in the studio and record some stuff that I had already written and was ready to record. I'd just been waiting for the right time.
Yeah, that's very cool. What is your typical week like now?
Monday, well, I always do something musical every day. I don't know about you, but I like to find time to do something musical every day, whether it's checking email or writing songs or working on guitar. You know, I think it's important for us to work on our craft every day. Because I'm a worship pastor, everything, my energy battery, everything builds towards Sunday, because I lead worship on Sunday morning. I do some teaching during the week on Wednesday night and on Friday, so that's part of my schedule. I'm also a student, so I'm doing homework every night.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're the teacher and a student, right?
Yes. I think we all have to be lifetime learners, don't you?
I completely agree with you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, actually graduation is the end of this month, May 29th. I'll be graduating, it's kind of the end of a 5-year process. It's been kind of difficult during COVID to do anything in person, so almost all the learning has been online. But that takes up a lot of my week, and as I said, then we end up on Friday nights and Saturdays doing a lot of our live performances.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for people out there that are just getting started? Like, how do you get people to take you seriously as a musician?
Well, I think the big thing is to hang out with other musicians, be willing to collaborate, and have an open mind, be willing to learn. I had the opportunity to be around great musicians when I was young, and I don't think I took full advantage of that, to my discredit. I think if I could go back and be my younger self, that I would take in the opportunity to write with those people. Everything in the music business is about the songs.
Yeah.
And if you're not writing, then you should be. And if you're a young musician just getting started and you're not writing, then you need to get with someone who does and, you know, just learn that craft, work on it, develop it, and hang around other people who write and collaborate with them. That would be my number one advice.
Yeah, you know, that's great advice, actually. When I first started, I had no clue about collaboration, so I never really looked for them. But the last couple of years, it's very interesting because I actually do look for them. And anytime I think, oh, this is going to be a good collaboration, kind of get started, and people kind of just drop off the face of the earth. And I don't know if I'm trying to collaborate with the wrong people. They get intimidated or something. But it's interesting, you know, people want to do it, and then all of a sudden you try to do it, and it's a really weird process out there.
Yeah, I think if you look at a lot of the current songs that you hear on the radio or even in worship music, if you look at the authors, there'll be 3, 4, and sometimes even 5 authors of these songs.
And, yeah, for sure.
And so they're getting together in these collectives and doing these co-writes. And I think one of the productive things is that they've been doing a lot of these on Zoom and stuff now.
Sure.
And which is not a very good venue for music, but I think it does well enough where they can write and exchange ideas.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think we need to make it easy for each other if we're serious about collaborating, you know, to your point.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to hear a song here in a minute or two. Tell us about it. What do you want us to know about this song called Dream?
Well, I had a friend of mine that turned me on to the Blue Sky Riders, and Kenny Loggins, he got together with Georgia Middleman and another gentleman, and they were doing a co-write down in Nashville, and they liked each other so much and enjoyed performing together so much, they decided to start a group. And Kenny Loggins went back to his record company and told them that he wanted to start a new group. And they said, "What? You're crazy. You're Kenny Loggins. You've got all these Grammys and all these award-winning, you know, movie tracks and all this stuff." And he said, "Well, I'm never too old to dream, you know?"
Yeah.
And that's the premise of this song. And it meant so much to me. That's where the album title came from, Begin Again. Is that it's never too late to follow your dreams. And so that's what the song Dream is about.
That's awesome. All right, man. Tell you what, Randy, let's take a listen to it and then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go, Dream. My life.
talking, but it won't be me the day I ever get to hold the tree. The day I ever get to hold the tree.
Randy, that was a really cool song, man. I want to thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for playing it. I hope your listeners enjoyed that today.
Absolutely. What is your favorite jam of all time? If you could pick one song, and it could be any genre you want.
Well, you'd probably be surprised, but You Look Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton, probably. I love Clapton and started listening to him at a young age, and he's like one of my big guitar influences. So
cool. No, it's a great artist, great song. Any weird compliments you've ever gotten for your music or your lyrics that you want to share with us?
Yeah, actually, one, you know, people have a hard time pigeonholing me in a specific genre because I write like lots of different kinds of songs. If you look back over my history, my first album was really more of a rock album. And then I did a contemporary Christian album, and this album is more country. So kind of the weird compliment was, you're a great songwriter, but you never really pick a genre, you know?
Yeah.
And I took that as a compliment, you know, so.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I'm the same way. I mean, I'm mostly rock, but I've done everything from Christian to rap. But my lane is where I want it to be, but I'll try anything because I think you want to try to, again, keep reaching, keep expanding, keep trying different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need to write, you know, when I write from a hook, I'm writing the song that I'm inspired to write, and I'm not necessarily, you know, thinking about writing for a certain genre or writing for radio or whatever. I mean, I have done that before, but in the creative process, I'm not thinking that way.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. One of the questions that I like to ask everybody is about scams. Tell us about a scam you want to warn us about or one you might have fallen for.
Management, I guess, is probably the biggest one. Don't sign contracts with management. There's lots of great independent managers out there, especially for indie artists like us. Most of those people will employ you for a specific weekly rate and for month to month and those kind of things. Long-term contracts are never good. From experience, I can tell you they're expensive, and I guess that'd be the first thing. And then just know when you get ready to use a studio, just know what you're purchasing, what services they offer, what kind of equipment they have, what kind of mastering that they have. It's good to shop, talk to other people that have used that studio before you employ them and use them. I guess those two things would be the biggies for me.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Speaking of managers, you said there are people that can help indie artists. What do you think the biggest benefit to a manager is?
I think you won't get played on the radio without a manager. Because radio play is all about getting music in front of station managers and station engineers. And let's say that you're talking about a CCM station and they have two slots open on their programming, and they have three songs. One of them's yours and one of them's Stephen Curtis Chapman's song and the other one's a Mike Tomlin song. Who do you think they're going to choose? And a manager will help you navigate the 90% of the radio stations that are not billboard stations. And they'll get you played around the world. And that's one of the great things that I found out about management, is they will get you exposure. And it's so, so helpful to have a social media presence and all that, that management can provide.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at yourself, what would you do differently the last 10 years if you could do it all over again?
Well, you know, life happened for me. I'm a dad and I'm a grandpa and all that. And, you know, I had to take significant time off from my music career to raise my family and all that. I wish I would have started and stayed with it when I was younger and made more time for it. I don't know. I don't have any regrets, if I hope it doesn't sound like that. But I'm enjoying being back in the saddle. Music is my full-time life now. It has been for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm savoring the moments that I have now.
Good for you. Good for you. Tell us a little bit about, where can fans reach out to you? Where can they buy or stream your music? What links do you want to share with everybody?
Well, my name is Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, and my last name is spelled S-E-E-D-O-R-F-F. And my website is randyseedorf.com. And on my website, you can download our music on there. We have our last three projects. Our discography is on there. We're also on all of the digital platforms, iTunes, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, YouTube, just all of the normal digital culprits. We're a part of that. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as well.
Okay, awesome. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I think I can't wait to keep track of your career, see what else you put out. I think you've got big things coming, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Sorantos, for having me on your show and playing our music. We're very appreciative of it. Thank you to your fans for listening.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So to any fans out there, thank you so much for tuning in tonight and listening to Randy and I. I invite you to check out his website and invite you to check out our website too and let me know if you want to be on the show if you're a songwriter. Otherwise, if you're just a fan, thank you again for listening. I know your time is precious and special, and thank you for sharing some of it with Randy and I. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. Tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my new songs that just came out called I Never Catch the Train. It's a folk country kind of song, and I think you're going to love the premise. I was inspired to write it, of course, by Sheldon Cooper when I was watching one of the Big Bang episodes. He loves trains. I love trains when I was a kid. So here we go. Check it out. I love you all. See you next Tuesday night.
Grow heavy, lost and confused, except I
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.